So today, I'm really happy that I have Laurie Ma with us. She is the soul of Madame Tootley Pootley. And welcome, Laurie.
Hi.
Hi. Let me ask you right off the bat. So how is it like being involved with the film for 4 years? Like, how long did you think it was going to take you in the beginning?
Well, at the very beginning, when they first hired me, I was only supposed to come in for a very short while, just as a character study. When they first started making the film, they didn't even know they were going to use real human eyes.
Oh.
They started with a concept about a woman on a train, stop motion. They knew they wanted to do something special, but they really weren't sure what that was going to be. So I was hired more for a character study and for my body language, and they needed somebody to photograph in order to model all of the characters' mannerisms after.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was my initial, that's why I was brought on at the beginning. And they were, I was hired because they had seen my film, How Oddly, and they knew that I really liked silent film, and that really interested me, and so that's why I was brought on, kind of like a silent film actor.
Right. There's a lot of parallelism in animation with silent film.
Absolutely.
There's no dialogue in it. So when was that? Was it 2002?
Gosh, you know what? That sounds about right.
What triggered the full involvement with you now?
Well, the first day they brought me in to work with them, I came in and I work with clothing as well in costumes. So I brought in a costume similar to what the sort of 1930s, you know, the cloche hat and everything, and little shoes. And I they had me improv a woman waiting for a train with a whole lot of baggage. And they filmed me on video, and they realized, you know, because I love silent film acting, that they sort of watched me as I, tried to pick up my baggage and dropped it on the floor, that they realized that this was very good footage for them to use as a sort of guideline for their animation. And I think you're right, silent film is, because there's no audio, or well, there's no talking, you have to exaggerate your body language a little more than you would in sort of a regular sort of live action film, and it translates very well into stop motion. Once they worked with me, they realized that it would be really good if I improv the entire film, every frame, that everything you see the character do, I improv on a video for them, and they were able to choose from the many takes of me in each scene. They could choose sort of how to move the puppet, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So in a sense, everything the puppet does, you did it first. You did it
absolutely
already.
Every mannerism, every time she picks up her coffee or taps her finger or even her feet, those, I worked that out with them on video first. And that way, you know, if they can choose what the film should look like before they go into animation, which saves a lot of time. Although, at the same time, I cost them a lot of time because my movements were more complicated than probably they would have they would have wished for.
But that's what makes it so interesting and so, in a sense, so realistic, right? I kind of got hooked, of course, with the story, but the eyes was the so spectacularly attractive to me. But that now you described it, so it's not just the eyes. It's actually the whole body movement, the hands, the legs, and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all based on myself.
Right. So
the boys are brilliant animators at capturing, because you know it's not like CG where you can use some computer technique to capture it and use tracking points. There was none of that because it's traditional stop motion and everything's made by hand and moved by hand.
Mm-hmm.
But they watched a video as they were moving things so that they knew what to do, and they really got it right.
Mm-hmm. So they got it right from you first. Is there, like, were there ever a back and forth? Like, they try something, it didn't work, and then they asked you to redo a scene?
Well, every scene that we did about, 15 takes first of all, and tried different things, different movements.
Okay.
And I read, Maciek says it very well in one interview that I read. He said, I'll quote him, he said that because they're two, he used the word dudes, two guys, they needed sort of a woman to show them how to animate a feminine character. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I know what you mean exactly. I mean,
yeah
two guys, the way we move, and there are many other films that joke about how men and women move differently, but totally. I mean, in an animation, it's stop motion. How, like, it's not just moving the hand, it's how a woman, a lady, may move a hand.
Absolutely, and it's like you would use your own, you know, body, maybe looking in the mirror to reference how to move something. But if you're a guy, and like Maciek and Chris, they wouldn't really quite, you know, it would look different if they used themselves anyway. So
Right.
That's why they brought me on in the beginning, and that's how it evolved. And then after that, there was the evolution of the eyes, which was an idea in a very in an incubation stage when we started. They weren't even sure it was possible. And so what they did is they worked with Jason Walker, who's worked on many films with them before.
Mm-hmm.
He does all of their computer stuff for them. And Jason, developed a technique for the eyes. He went home and worked and figured it out. It took him quite a while to develop this technique.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I've seen the puppet, and with the puppet with your eyes, like CG on top. Did the shooting started with a puppet like that without an eye? Like, looking at the puppet itself looked kind of quite odd. But so when did that process started?
Okay, well, the puppet was animated completely before the eyes were put on. So essentially the process was, I improv the action, the puppet imitated me, and then once the puppet was fully animated, then I in turn imitated the puppet again with her head, with my head only, and then on a green screen. And then Jason digitally composited, he cut out and composited my eyes and put them back on the puppet. So it was a real give and take. It was like, she's imitating me, I'm imitating her.
Wow.
You know, a really unusual process.
Right, right.
Time-consuming.
So I guess there must be tests that if Jason just put your eyes in the original take to the puppet, it's going to, like, it's the difference is so obvious that it's not working. Was that what happened?
The original tape, you mean the first tape, if he took those eyes and put them on the puppet?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the quality of the video wasn't good enough, first of all, and so they needed to put my head on a green screen, and they used a special camera, which I'm not too technical, so I don't know the name of it, and they shot my head as close up as they could so they could get the best resolution of my eyes.
Mm.
And then, and the movements of my head were very subtle compared to what I did in the actual original improv.
Of course. In the original improv, you just need the general movement, right? It's for the puppet.
It had to be very specific.
Right. And I'm looking at Jason's website right now on some of the photos with your face having some reference points, like sticking on.
On those things they glued to my face and then it hurt to pull off at the end of every day.
Oh, it hurts too.
Yeah. Those were there more as a precaution for Jason, I think. I don't know how much he really used them. You could ask him, but we did do it every day because he did want to have some sort of reference, but I think in the end his process didn't involve much of that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I always say about Jason is a very good portrait painter, and if you look at his paintings and his portraits, when he paints human eyes on his portraits,
mm-hmm.
they're like no other eyes I ever see in a gallery, and
mm-hmm.
he's a very talented painter, so I think he composited my eyes onto the puppet frame by frame. And I think the interesting thing is, I don't think just any compositor would do such a meticulous job. I think because he has such a background in painting,
mm-hmm.
he was able to make it look so seamless. And
right.
That was his challenge. He wanted people not to know, although you want people to know your work, at the same time he wanted it to look like no one had done anything, you know, and that you might question whether they're real or not.
Right, right.
Yes.
It's like an acting. I mean, you don't notice that, he or she is a star acting it. Well, he or she is in the role. And yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
So he also, I think, if I remember right, after he composited each frame by frame your eyes onto the puppet, he also painted, like also works on the eye itself, right?
Yes, you mean makeup?
Painted the eye. Like, did he do some pixel by pixel modification of each frame?
I think he used what does he call it? He used
Is it at Adobe After Effects that you're thinking of?
Yeah, After Effects. But he used when he had to blend my eye with the puppet's latex face, right? So
right.
He used a lot of masks and to blend and painted it, in himself.
Mm-hmm.
Frame by frame. And it took him a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
He worked on the movie the whole time, too.
You were involved in the full 4 years, were you?
Yes, I was brought in at the beginning. Now, of course, when they were, there were times when I didn't come in because they were animating the puppet.
Mm.
They also worked on the wardrobe, so I came in for other reasons.
Mm.
Right.
Talk a little bit about the wardrobe. I heard a very interesting story. I want to hear you retelling it again.
I worked, at the time, my day job was working in a clothing studio next door called Comrags, and I worked there as a pattern drafter before I got involved with the Clyde Henry. And so when they were making the wardrobe, they had a wardrobe designer, Leah Carlson, who worked on all the other puppets. When it came time to do the main character, I think because she was me, or she was modeled after me, it only seemed natural that I should also make her clothing. So I made, first thing I made was her stockings, and I wasn't, I'd never made tiny stockings before.
Yeah.
So I made them out of my own stockings and sewed them with a little seam up the back, and made several pair, and I used to pin them on the wall.
Uh-huh.
And then I made her dress from a scrap of fabric from the studio where I worked, and I drafted mini patterns just like I would for a big dress.
Mm-hmm.
And I drafted probably five dresses before I felt that the fabric was moving the way I wanted it to, because in that size, it has to move a certain way in order to look real, right? Otherwise,
right.
If it's too thick, it's too stiff, it'll get more of a doll effect. And I wanted it to sort of cling in the right way and move. And then I made her hat as well. I made that. I actually made little miniature hat molds out of a Sculpey, and I used a double boiler in the oven, and I would steam felt. And I had actually gone to a milliner, a hat maker, and asked for scraps of fabric, and they actually showed me how to make a life-size hat, because I didn't have any experience. And
uh-huh.
Then I went home and translated it into the puppet size. And I made mini hats, too, before I was satisfied.
Wow.
It's a little addictive. You want everything to look just so, so...
But it's like you. That's why it's. I guess it's even more than the movement now. It's everything.
It's very weird to watch the puppet, because she really is a mixture of, all four of us together, and she really is me.
mm-hmm. Right. The thoughts.
She's a mixture of everybody, which is really interesting. I think people who know me, who grew up with me, or my family, they're astonished. Because that's Laurie.
mm-hmm. Right, right. So, Laurie, how does it feel like working with Chris and Magic every day? When they direct you, what was the process? Like, and tell me what is the most number of takes that they ask you to do.
Oh, dear. I don't know if I would remember that. I know we probably did, 20, 25 sometimes, and they certainly could, they wanted it... to have as many options as they could. They would ask for more and more, I enjoyed working on it so much that I was as enthusiastic to get it right.
In the first phase or in the eye movement phase?
Both, actually.
Both, really?
Yeah.
25 takes on one thing, wow.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the eyes, hopefully it was quite exhausting, so sometimes maybe we'd only do 16 or depending. Mm-hmm. And Jason was there when we were filming the eyes, because he basically... directed in the whole thing.
Mm.
The boys directed the emotion, and Jason showed them how to get me to move properly. And Jason directed my movements so that it's technically correct.
Right. So I guess for the eyes now, after every takes, Jason, I presume, is going to check and see if the puppet motion is, like, basically having the model running side by side and see if he is something that he can use. Is that right?
He did a test after each scene that we did. He would test it before I was allowed to move on to the next scene. So it took a long time. Like, sometimes we'd only do, like, 2 or 3 sessions in a day, which is... it's incredible. And one session for me, which may have taken half a day to shoot or whatever, would take him 4 or 5 days to composite.
Wow.
So it was a long process.
Are we talking about 8 hours a day or more? Or like how much? Like,
what, a day?
Yeah.
It depends on the time of day, if it was the weekend or if I had, you know, if I wasn't working or I wasn't working at other things, because often I would be working at my job as well to... sometimes I'd work for an 8-hour day. Sometimes I'd often work for like a 5-hour or a 6-hour day at the end of my day, at the end of my work day.
Oh.
So
at the end of your day job as a fashion designer,
yeah,
as a pattern designer, you
work on top. I moved on from that company and moved on to other things as well. But I must say, I enjoyed the whole process. The boys, all of them have a very silly sense of humor, and so do I, so we laughed a lot while making the film, and to me, you got to have a sense of humor, because that's what keeps you going, so I've never laughed so hard, and I have some funny stories about things they did while filming me, so...
Right.
So that was fun. For me, it is the process that is really fun.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, it's great to look at... for audience like me, I just loves it. Tomorrow's Oscar, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, I wasn't sure at first, because normally for the Oscars I would probably put on my pajamas and get in my bed or sit on the sofa with a blanket, and I usually watch them. I always usually catch the animated awards at the beginning, because they're at the beginning, and then I usually fall asleep. And I tend to wake up at the end going, what happened? Decided better do something, and I'm going to have my aunt and my mother are throwing me a little Oscar party at her house. So actually one of the CBC reporters is going to be there doing taping some audio, so he said, can I come to your Oscar party? And I thought, gee, I better have one. So I hope I can, I hope it all works out tomorrow. So
yeah, I hope so. It'll
be fun. To be with my family and friends, and hear them on. So,
best of luck to you and Chris and Magic and Jason and everyone involved. It's a big team. It's not just one person, I suppose. And
we have collaboration.
Good luck to all of you guys, and of course, NFB. I think the guys are great. Like there are so many good films coming from NFB, and
for sure there is.
Right. So thanks a lot, Laurie.
Well, thank you very much for writing about it on your blog. I really appreciate that.